Don't forget to say thank you. If you were brought up in a time like I was, it was ingrained in you from a very young age to say thank you. I would remember the day when you would walk into a store or to the mall and somebody would hold the door open and you would say thank you. Mom would make dinner, as often was the case in our house, and we would say thank you for making dinner. You would get invited out somewhere after church to someone's house, and you would play all day, and they would bring you back for the evening service, and you would say, thank you for having me over. It just seemed as though thankfulness was being ingrained into you from a very young age. And yet, I suspect that is something each of us tries to live out. And yet thankfulness seems to be such a rare occurrence in our society today. I think being thankful is one of the hardest things in the world to live out. We're going to read a story this morning, and I don't want you to just hear the story. I want you to see yourself as a bystander in the story, because the story that we're going to read really is our story. The passage in Mark opens up this way, and we're going to work through the first verses of Mark chapter 5. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. We're not exactly sure where this story takes place. It is said to take place in the area of the Gerasenes. Matthew calls it in the area of Gardas. It's a little closer to the lake, but not really close enough. In fact, it really is in the area of Decapolis. It's probably as close to the lake that we can get. It had become a very Gentile area. And it's there that the story, the encounter with Jesus, opens up. Mark continues. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on the feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. You got to picture it for a moment. There, a boat banks itself on the shore. And there on the top of the hillside, there is this figure that is looking out over you, observing your making your way onto the shore. Picture it. His hands are bound. His body is gaunt, but it is powerful. The sores and the scars of life have become so evident on this man. His hair was like a bee's nest. His body was tired. Suddenly, the screams that came from his being made its way down the rock face to those who were coming ashore. It's scary. It's mesmerizing. It's messy. But it's there that we encounter grace and love and purity and unconditional acceptance and belonging and the encounter with God. You can see the connection to the story of our lives, can't you? Because there are moments that we feel unworthy, that we don't belong, that we're unaccepted, and so we never share. We distance ourselves in the story. We don't let people get close. We have questions about the faith, and yet we don't ask them because maybe that makes us a bad Christian. It's Sunday today, and so the rules that we followed all week according to the culture we live in need to be laid aside, and maybe this morning we should live the good Christian rules. You came here this morning, and maybe your heart doesn't sing. It's Thanksgiving, but You're so caught up in your story, in all that is going on, that it's hard to say thank you. Not just for a chocolate bar, but for everything else. But it's here, in the midst of the story. Catch it in your story, please. That you see love, that you see grace, that you see acceptance. When he saw Jesus, Mark continues to write, from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. And catch this, how did he know who it is? He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" How did he know? "In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Cut out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Legion, they would have understood, very closely connects to a large body of soldiers who probably would have made up about 5,000. So there inside of this man is about 1,000 at least evil spirits. Jesus has a way of doing this, doesn't he? He has a way of walking into our story and exhibiting grace and life and giving us exactly what we need. Do you remember in John 4 when he walks alongside of the woman of the well? Picture in Matthew 10 when he goes to blind Bartimaeus and he heals him. In Luke 8, where a woman has been bleeding for 12 years, and she's instantly healed. Where the leper in Mark 1 is healed. Where in John 5, the man laying by the poolside, all of a sudden is able to walk. To the thief on the cross, who hears, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You see, here's the connection to our lives, is there in the midst of our story, we hear these words from Ephesians 2. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, but it is a gift of God." It is here in the midst of the story of life that we hear the story of grace, that we hear the story of the love of God, that we hear the story of acceptance, that we hear the story of God transforming our lives. And he begged him again not to send them out to the area. And a large herd of pigs were feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake. Here's interesting. Pigs can actually swim. But these drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported it in the town and the countryside. And the people went to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there in his right mind, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Can you picture all the commotion that has just gone on? Not only with the pigs, but what they saw in the man. How this must have been so different than anything they had ever seen before. And they were in disbelief. That's the herdsmen. And they made their way back to the village, scarcely being able to understand what had just happened. Think of the connection to your own story this morning. Paul writes, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me," that is a thorn in his flesh. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Or from Romans 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who was to his earthly life, he was a descendant of David. And through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in the power of the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. So, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. For the grace of God appeared that offers salvation to all people. For, Paul writes in Romans 6, sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Imagine how visibly stunned you would have been to see a man now sitting there in his right mind, dressed in borrowed clothes, so radically different. Picture him calling you to come near, to hear his story, to hear him tell of what God had done. And he just wants to talk. And so here is this man, radically transformed, sitting amongst everyone. Give thanks, his story says. Give thanks for the grace that God has given you. People of God, give thanks this morning for eternal life. Give thanks that you are forgiven. Give thanks that you are no longer shackled with the chains of sin. Give thanks that you have the abundant life already now available in Christ Jesus. Give thanks that in the midst of the craziness of your story, God is there. Give thanks that in the midst of your story, God comes and specifically meets you in that moment. Give thanks for strength in the midst of hardship. Give thanks for life, for food, for shelter, for community, for hope, for victory, for peace. But do you notice something happens in that moment? The rest of those who were there asked Jesus to leave. They wanted nothing to do with him. Reminds me of the story of the lepers, which we heard about. 10 were healed, and only one came back. And yet here is this guy who had just radically experienced the power of God in his life. And he goes, I want to go with you. I want to go with you to the ends of the earth and tell the story of what God has done. But Jesus says, go home. Go home to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And the people were amazed. Isn't that an amazing part of the story? Go home. It's like the 80s TV show said, it's the place where everybody knows your name. It's the place where you belong. It's the place where you live and where you worship and where you work, where you are known. And it's amazing what happened. Just before this encounter that we have before us, Jesus speaks a word and he calms the sea and it is still. As far as we know, there is no other reason why Jesus came to the area of Decapolis but to heal this man. Because after this, he begins to sail off to another place. Doesn't that tell you something very profound? Very profound about the mission and the purpose of God. Just as God purposefully and intentionally came in Decapolis to heal this man, Jesus comes to enter into your story. We don't hear about Jesus returning to the area until Mark chapter 7. And here's what's amazing. Isn't it a good thing that Jesus didn't send this man to another part of the world? Isn't it a good thing that he doesn't say, don't tell the story of what God has done? Because here, he tells the story of what God had done, how he had healed him, how he had experienced grace and mercy and life, just like us. And now Jesus comes back, and they don't say, Jesus, leave, but they say, Jesus, stay. In fact, Jesus can't get rid of him. In fact, that's why we have the feeding of the 4,000. Here, because this man was healed by God, and he went back to his community, and he told the story of faith. He told the story of what God had done, because he was thankful, and he lived it out. 4,000 people, many of them would have been among the ones who said, leave. Now experienced the story of grace within their own story. What if thankfulness really was a part of the way you and I lived? What if Tuesday morning you went back to work and you were not only thankful for your job, but you were thankful for the people that you worked with, and you lived as though you were intentionally thankful for them? How that would radically change how people not only viewed you, but maybe even their job. Maybe they would actually become more thankful. What if when you came to community church every Sunday, you were thankful to be here? You were thankful for the people that sit in front of you and behind you and beside you. And it just showed so that when somebody comes to community church and they're a guest here, they would say, man, these people love God. These people love each other. Man, I'm thankful to be here. How can I be a part of what God is doing here? Man, I want to use my gifts here. I want to be able to give, to be a part of what God is doing here. Man, they are a thankful bunch of people. What if when you leave this place and either today or tomorrow you celebrate a Thanksgiving dinner, that you sit around the table and you share what you're thankful for? Maybe you're going to be here tomorrow at our Thanksgiving dinner, and we can be thankful that we have the space, that we have the gifts, that we have the heart to reach our community as 200 people gather here to have a Thanksgiving dinner. A place that reaches out and unfolds and is a place of hope and thankfulness. But let me give you a real practical application as we close. What if you really wanted to be a Thanksgiving person the rest of the year? Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What if you were to go to Starbucks or the grocery store or the restaurant where you may go to, and you simply said, thank you for serving my meal. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for being here today. I guarantee you will get a smile. In many cases, you will change the very demeanor of the person that you're encountering with. I want to challenge you to find one or two people to do that with this week. And then send me an email, send me a phone call, or give me a phone call. Share a story, and let's together celebrate some of those stories, how God is using us to change other people's lives. Because I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful that God entered our story, and because he did, I can be thankful all year round. And in all circumstances, we can give thanks. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we live in an unthankful world. And yet, Lord, we want to be thankful people. And Lord, we give you thanks this morning for grace. We want to give you thanks for those moments in our stories where we could not sustain ourselves, but you sustained us. We give you thanks for modern healthcare, Lord, that can help with physiotherapy, that can help diagnose illnesses, that can help save limbs. We give you thanks for a community of faith where we can be ourselves and we can engage in the story of God. We give you thanks for families that we can sit with. May not be perfect, Lord, but we thank you that grace can shine through our stories. We give you thanks for freedom, Lord. We give you thanks for a country to live in where we democratically can go to a poll and vote for a candidate to lead our country. We give you thanks for life, for breath, for community. Lord, I pray that in not only these next 2 days, but through the story of our lives, we would find things to give thanks for. And that, Lord, we would come back and we would share the stories of not only what we're thankful for, but out of our thankfulness, how you have entered into someone else's story. In your name we pray. Amen.